Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Summer Camp 2026 with guest speaker, Pastor Nick Devencentis. We hope it blesses you and we hope to see you soon.
Pastor Maddie, thank you, Frontline. You can sit down. Wow, how cool to be at Frontline. I actually think it's been 2022 was my last camp. Who was at the camp, Summer Camp 2022? Yes, there you go. So it wasn't that long ago. Hey, first time that we've ever had like a camp engagement. That's big news. Massive news. I was actually thinking, I wonder when those two are going to get engaged. So there you go. Guys, I'm so pumped to be here. I'm so excited to be here. And I say that honestly and genuinely. It is a privilege and it is an honor to come always and to share God's word, but particularly with you. And I have always loved youth. It's why I stayed in youth for so long, and I still get a little bit teary when I hear about camp and I'm like, I'm not there, and I get FOMO. And so this is awesome that I can be here, and yes, I'm a part of it. So, and actually, you know what I was thinking? In 2022, who remembers what we were wearing? Masks! We were wearing masks. And the last time I was at camp, we were worshipping and praise, and it was sweaty, and we had our masks on, and I'm a face sweater, and I don't know if anyone face sweater? Am I the only face sweater? Yes, there's a few face sweaters. We don't like to admit it because it's not pretty. And, you know, the sweat was on my mask, and I had to rip it off, and I felt guilty, and I had to put it back on. Anyway, it's like freedom being here. It's great. It's so good. And so I was looking back over all of the camps that I've been on. And so we began summer camps back in 2010. And so I think it was about 2010. And so from 2010 until 2022, I missed one because I had a baby. And so this is my 13th summer camp today. I think it's pretty cool. And so that is a goal for everyone, to get to like more summer camps than that. And the reason I say that is because when I look back on all of those years of summer camps, and this is legit, they have been some of the best times of my life. Like, in all honesty, like, those weekends away at camp with God have been up there with some of the best moments of my life. And I've had kids, I've got a husband, and so those things are up there, and camp is like kind of not equal, like a little bit down, but it's up there. And so I say that because I want you guys to like savor this camp. You guys are in the best times of your life. You may not realize it, but you are. You're going to look back on these years and go, wow, God moved in my life and set me on a trajectory that is where I am today. And so can I encourage you to just savor and enjoy every moment of these camps. Let me ask, who loves packing? Who loved packing for camp to come? Anyone enjoy the packing process? Like, Dan, you enjoy packing, Dan. Okay, that's surprising. Okay, that's cool. I like it. I don't know why it's surprising. What kind of packer are you? There are two types of packers, I reckon. An organized list packer? That is you. Okay, I'm an organized list packer. Who else is an organized list packer? You know, you pack like 3 days out. You're checking the weather apps. You're planning your outfits. You put everything on the bed. You got your list. You check it off. You put it in. You check it again. We never forget stuff, do we? Never forget stuff. And then there's the other category of packers. I call these the fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants packers. Who's that? You know, you're packing like 10 minutes before you're leaving. Yes, you're like grabbing clothes. You're just like throwing them in. Are they clean? Are they dirty? I don't know. I don't care. And you're like, you know, you get to camp and you've got like a beanie and like one pair of undies and like 18 socks. And I don't know. These kind of people, like, you often forget stuff. Who's forgotten something? Who forgot their sleeping bag? I feel like everyone once a year always forgets a sleeping bag. Once. Who's forgotten this year? There you go. Sleeping bag. Are you a list packer? No, not a list packer. Are you an organized list packer, Matt? No, fly by the seat of your pants. See, you forget stuff. Anyway, I'm not going to ask whose mum packed their bags. No one's mum packed their bag. No, put your hand down. We don't admit to that stuff at camp. Just you pack your own bag. And so you packed your bag, right? And you got ready to come on camp. And you're here. And it's funny, Alicia, I think, mentioned this in worship. Why are you here? And I don't ask why as in, why are you here? I'm asking legit, what has brought you to camp in 2026? Is it because your mum signed you up? Is it because there was nothing else to do and holidays were a bit boring and you wanted to get out of the house? Is it because you got dragged along by a friend, or maybe you've dragged a friend along with you? Is it because you've got your eye on someone and you want to just kind of show off, impress your skills in tribal wars? Or is that what you call it, tribal wars still? Yeah. Maybe you come to camp because it's just what you do. You've always gone to camp and you're here because, yeah, I'm just that, it's rolled around and here I am. And I would encourage you, and again, I think Alicia said this, to actually write down why you're here. Get honest, get real, write it down in your notebooks as to why you're here. Because you got ready for camp, you're packed, you hopped on the bus. Some of you might have got out of work. Some of you might have, you know, made some social arrangements to hang out with friends at a different time. But are you really ready? Are you ready for heaven? I'm not asking, are you ready to die and like meet God and go to heaven? That's what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you ready for heaven to invade your life? Because that's our theme. It says it. Heart like heaven. And heaven is up there and our hearts are down here. And so if that's the theme, then I'm expecting some collisions and some colliding to happen over the next few days. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to get a heart like heaven? And I love a camp theme. I love a theme. And I tell you what, you are going to remember this theme for the next 10 years because I'm going to hammer it over the next 4 days. So get ready to write all the camp theme notes. And it's funny, so many people, as I came here tonight, said to me, oh, Nick, are you ready? Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready? Because I'm ready. And so, Frontline, I want to ask you, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for heaven? Okay, like, you're kind of convincing me. I reckon we'll get there. That is my title for tonight, Ready for Heaven. I'm going to quickly pray, and then we're going to get into it. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your provision, and I thank you for every single person here tonight. I thank you it's no accident that they're here. It's not by chance. It's not a coincidence. God, you knew that they would be here, and you are ready to do business with us. And so, Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is that you want to do. And Father, we just set our hearts before you and we say, God, we need you. Lord, I need you right now. And so would you come and minister your love and your power and your grace? Would you open heaven over this place in Jesus' mighty name? Everyone said amen. All right, so who's got their Bibles? Who forgot their Bibles? Good. No one. A couple of people. There's Bibles up the back. If you've got your Bibles, grab your Bibles. And I want to see real Bibles. I don't want phones. I mean, obviously, if you've got your phones, use them. But if you've got a Bible, use your Bible. Open up to Colossians chapter 3. And you can put a bookmark in this chapter because we are going to be here for the next few days as we work our way through this chapter. And it's on the screen. Have we got the slides working? Have we got the scripture? There it is, Colossians. And we're going to start at verse 1. I'll wait a minute for you to get there. Are we there? Give me a nod. Give me a thumbs up. Great. Let's go. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above. Everyone say above. Not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, let's just stop there. So we need to go back to verse 1 and we need to look at, there's a little word and it says the word if. And so this is Paul writing, but we need to work out who he's writing to. And so what Paul is saying is, if you are a believer in Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, if you have ever accepted and asked Jesus into your heart, if he is your savior and if you love him, then listen up because I got some things to tell you. And so he's writing this letter to these people, but the same can be said to us. And so he's saying to us tonight, if that's you, if you're a follower, if you're a believer, listen up because I want to tell you some things. And he says, if you have been raised with Christ. Now, sometimes in church and youth and camps, we hear these Christian phrases and they kind of go over our heads and we don't really understand them. I just want to talk about what that means, raised with Christ. It means really that you get a new life, like in a nutshell. It means you get a new life because in the Bible, we're told that when we commit our lives to Jesus, when we become a follower, that we get a new life. Jesus gives us new life, that we are a new creation. It actually says that our old life died and we get raised with Jesus and we get a new life, which is pretty cool if you ask me. And so Jesus comes to live in our hearts, and we live in him, and we talk about how we're born again. We get given this new life. And so that's what it means to be raised with Christ. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen anything that was dead come back to life. Anyone ever seen anything dead come back to life? No? No, I haven't either, but I've come close. And the closest thing I've ever experienced to something being dead and coming back to life was probably a couple of years ago, and it was in a season in my life when my family had guinea pigs as pets. Who likes guinea pigs? Okay, you might not like this story. So we had these two guinea pigs. I think there's a photo. This was like 3 years ago, and the guinea pigs were Fudge and Cupcake. I don't know which one's Fudge. I don't know which one's Cupcake. And the girls, these are my daughters, they're young here, they're a bit older now, and they got given them for Christmas, and my husband Aaron was the one who had the idea, and I was like, nah, bad idea, I don't want more pets, we already had a dog. And he's like, nah, they'll love it. And so I was like, no, when he was like, yes, and so we got them, and he won. And so we get these guinea pigs, right? Kids love them, and I'm not even joking, like 2 days after Christmas, like we've had them for 2 days, and Aaron looks at me, he's like, what have we done? We've made the biggest mistake. And I'm like, no, we haven't made the biggest mistake, the guinea pigs. So I was like, hang on, the pen is like where it was this morning when I left from work, and it's like in direct sunlight, it's like 30 degrees. And I walk over, and I see little Fudgy just lying flat in the sun. And that was like the first sign that something was wrong, because guinea pigs are really skittish and they just jump everywhere. And she just didn't move. And I went up to her and I picked her up, and she was so hot and her body was like lifeless and like really floppy. And so I run her into the house. I'm like, Aaron, you forgot to move the pen. I think you've killed Fudge. He's like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm like, I think she's dead. And he like looked at her and he was like trying to hear like a heartbeat. And he's like, I think she's still alive. I think we can save her. I'm like, what are we going to do? And normally when you think about someone on the brink of death and them coming back to life, you give them mouth to mouth, don't you? It's what you normally do. It's what you're taught, CPR. I don't know if you're imagining Aaron, my big, strong, manly husband, giving CPR to a dirty, disgusting, hairy rodent. He didn't, okay? It's all right. He didn't. He didn't give mouth to mouth. He thought about it, but he didn't. No, he didn't really think about it. But what we did is we got an ice pack and we wrapped it up in paper towel, and we put Fudge, the guinea pig, on the ice pack. She still wasn't moving, and I was like, well, she needs water. And so I get a piece of lettuce, and I put the lettuce like near her mouth. I'm like trying to shove it in her little teeth. It wouldn't go in, so I just put it over her face, hope that the water like just drains into her. And we just sort of leave her, and she wasn't moving, but slowly but surely, after like a few minutes, like she started to like move, and then she started to nibble. Anyway, eventually Fudge came back to life, okay? We nearly killed her, but we saved her. So it's a happy ending. You can clap Fudge, okay? She's not in heaven. But here's the point of the story. Even after her near-death experience, our little guinea pig life was no different afterwards than what it was beforehand. She still went back to being the same disgusting guinea pig that pooed and weed everywhere. We continued to resent her and wish that we let her die from sunstroke. It was just, I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. We will never get guinea pigs again. Anyway, but the point is, it's different for us, okay? It's different for us. When we die, when our old life dies, and we get raised to life, we get a new life with Jesus, and it looks different. It looks different because the new life that we get given, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And we get purpose, and we get direction, and we get freedom, and we get peace, and we get all this amazing stuff that God gives us. And our life looks different. And so if you're a follower and a believer, and your old life died, and you have been raised with Christ, and you have a new life, then you need to listen up, because Paul's got some stuff that he wants to say to you. And he says in the rest of verse 1, he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And my study Bible puts it this way, set your sights on the realities of heaven. And that's what we're going to do over the next few days. We're going to talk about how do we set our hearts and our minds on the realities of heaven. But before we get there, I want to go back to that question that I asked at the start about being ready. Because you guys got ready in the physical. You came to camp, you packed your bags, some of you forgot stuff, but you're here. You got ready. But are you spiritually ready? Is your heart ready for heaven? And I really love how the Message Bible puts these verses. And I've got it on the screen. It says this, So it's the same verse as just the Message Bible. It says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Frontline, it's time to get serious. It's time to get serious about your faith, about your resurrection life. Are you serious about encountering God over the next few days? Are you serious about having the voice of God speak into your life? Are you serious about like actually having a heart like heaven? Is it just a nice idea, or are you actually seriously ready and wanting it? Or is camp just a fun few days away? Because I'm serious about it. That's why I'm here. I'm so glad to be back, but I wouldn't be here if I'm not serious about it. Your leaders are serious about it. You know, your leaders have actually taken time off work. They've paid to be here. They have made an investment to be at this camp because they love you and care about you, and because they are so serious about their walk with God and they want you to be serious about it. And maybe you're someone that used to be serious and used to take the God stuff seriously, and you kind of, I don't know, have let it go. Maybe you're someone that's never been serious. You've just rocked along because it's what everyone else does, and it's never actually been serious for you. Well, you know what? Now's the time. Now is the time to get serious about your resurrection life. It continues the scripture, and it says, pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. I want you to picture the kind of person that Paul is describing in this passage, right? He's talking about someone that's just shuffling along. Like, I imagine, like, just really slow and, like, cruisy, eyes to the ground. They're probably slumped over. Their head is down. They're not in a hurry. They're just kind of like, whatever. And I don't know. It kind of looks like they've probably got bad posture if you're someone that's shuffling along, right? Can you imagine that? I imagine that if you're shuffling along with your eyes to the ground, you got bad posture. Who here has good posture? Who here would say, I've got good posture? I'm looking at you all now, and like, bad posture right there, Nico. Like, well, not too bad. You're not too bad. His back is straight, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's not up. I don't know. I'm not an osteo. Got any osteos in the house? Rohan? What does good posture look like? Have you got good posture, Ro? He doesn't. Okay, well, I'm not going to say don't see an osteo with bad posture. You teach everyone how to have good posture. So let's just have some good posture. Everyone right now, I want you to sit up. Sit up in your chair, okay? We're going to get some good posture. Now, what do? You roll your shoulders back, all right? Everyone roll your shoulders back. Spine straight. Just spine needs to be straight. Rowan doesn't know. That's not a worry. Head up, eyes open, and you're awake, all right? You guys look good. You look awesome. Do you know what you look like? You look serious. You look serious. You know when you have a good posture, it conveys a message that you're ready, that you're alert, that you're attentive, that you're paying attention, that you're serious, that you're awake. That's what a good posture says. And so let me ask you, Frontline, what does your spiritual posture look like? Is it slouched? Is it bent over? Your eyes to the ground, are you just shuffling along, just absorbed with the stuff in front of you? Or are you sitting up straight? Are you alert? Are you awake? Are you attentive? Are you ready for whatever it is that God wants to say to you? What is your spiritual posture like? Because let me tell you, Frontline, heaven is ready for you. Heaven is ready for you. God is ready for you. God is never slouching. God is never like eyes just absorbed with meaningless stuff. He is ready to move. He is ready to heal. He's ready to set people free. He's ready to break change. He's ready to empower. He's ready to strengthen you. He's ready to equip you. He's ready to give you dreams and visions. He's ready to set your hearts on fire. He's ready to encounter you. God is always ready, and He's waiting for us to be ready for Him. And so can I encourage you? Get ready. Get ready. And you know what? God's already started. God's been ready since like before camp. You got ready like this afternoon, but God has been ready. And God is going to do this stuff. He's going to speak and show you things, and it's going to come now. Like, it's happening now. Like, God is already moving, and God is already dropping things into people's spirits. It's going to come from these sessions. It's going to come from the time afterwards when we close the meeting, but we leave it open for you to hang out and just hang with God. God's going to speak to you and show you and reveal you things in the quiet time that you spend. He's going to do it maybe when you're lying awake in your cabin, or maybe when you're having a conversation with a friend. And so be ready. It's not just going to be in these sessions. The whole of camp, God wants to move in your life. And you know, this camp is not going to be awesome because, you know, I'm a really great preacher, because I'm not that great. It's not going to be awesome because the worship is incredible, even though it is. It's not going to be awesome because you get all this amazing prayer from your leaders. You can have all that stuff, the most amazing preaching, the most amazing worship, all the prayer in the real world, but if you don't have a posture that's ready, if you don't have an attitude that's serious for God, then you're not going to leave much different to how you came. And can I say, when I think back to all of the camps that I've been on that have been the best times of my life, they've been the best because I have left different to when I came. And they've been the best because I've watched people be transformed and left different to what they came. And so can I encourage you, be ready, be ready. Have a posture that's ready. And I want to give you a picture for this. And so we're going to do something a little bit weird. Not weird, we're going to play a game. Can we play a game right now? I need 4 volunteers, and perhaps there might be some points up for grabs. I don't know. So, right there. Is that you, Jono? Yes. Up here. Who else? Another Jono? Yes. I'm just picking the people who... Yes. Who else? And I don't know your name. What's your name? Rory. I know you, Rory. Come on up. Okay. So, no, down here, down here. So, we need another chair, and this is the game. So, you need to team up. So, right here, this is one team, and this is the other team. You guys are the catchers. No, you guys are going to stay over here. And that chair needs to go over there. Sorry, we're not very organized. Okay, so the aim of the game is this. I've got 2 buckets and 2 chairs. And Jono and Rory... No, sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. I'm not the games master, but I am tonight, right now. So there's 2 buckets here. Rory and Jono, you've got to sit down in one each. Okay. You're the catchers. Say catchers. Say it enthusiastically. Okay, great. You guys are the throwers. Now, in that bag, what have I got in that bag, Jono?
Chips.
Chips, lollies, chocolate, all the good stuff. Now, the aim of the game is in like 10, 20, 15 seconds, I don't know how long, buckets on the ground, because you need your hands, boys. You need to throw as much stuff at these guys, and you guys have got to catch it. You can use one hand, you can use 2 hands. You win the person that has the most stuff in their bucket at the end of the 15 seconds, but it's got to be in the bucket. So you've got to catch it, and you'll put it in the bucket. Are we clear? Are we ready? What? By the way, what teams? Like, what colours have we got here? Team? Green? Green, white? White? Red? Red! Okay! So, red's going to win no matter what. Well, red, you need to win because you're losing, aren't you? Okay, all right. So, I don't know how that worked, but that's fine. All right, are you ready? Are you set? Can we have, like, a countdown? Like, someone time? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Go, go. Come on, cheer the teams. Keep going. And like Matt, you can just time 20 seconds. How are we going? How are we going? Red is red. All right. How much longer? 10. Let's count them down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. Okay, give him a clap, give him a clap. All right, now, put the rest there. I don't know who's won. Matt is going to count, and maybe we'll announce the winner. I don't know. You can keep that afterwards. All right? Well, this team wins. So red and green. Red and green, how many points are we giving them? 20? More? You guys can decide that later. Anyway, thank you. Give them a clap. Well done. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for participating. Now, why do we play that kind of weird game just now? Because I want you to remember the posture of Rory and Jono when they were catching. Were they sitting there in the chairs, like slumped, slouching, eyes to the ground, bad posture? How were they sitting? They were sitting up. Were they leaning forward? Were their arms out? They were excited. They were eager. They were serious. They weren't distracted. They were looking at what was being thrown. And I know it's kind of a silly example, but that's the kind of posture that we need to have. We need to have a posture that is leaning into what it is that God wants to give to us. We need to have a posture that is excited. Frontline, this is the posture that we need not just at camp, but this is the posture that we need for life, okay? This is the posture that we need for 2026, because when Paul is writing these verses and he's saying, if you're serious about this resurrection life, then act like it, he's not like writing to a group of people that are going on a four-day retreat. He's writing to people about their resurrection life. And so this is the posture that he wants them to have forever. To be a follower of Jesus, you need to have a posture that's up and alert and ready and awake and arms outstretched. If you want to be a person that has a heart like heaven, you've got to have a posture that's ready to receive heaven. And that's not just for these next 4 days, although it needs to be, but that's going forward for like the rest of your journey and your walk with God. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 19. And Pastor Matt read this earlier before, and we're going to read it again quickly now. And this is Jesus, and he's talking about storing up treasures here on earth. And so I'm going to read it. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and eat and steal." Store your treasures where? In heaven. Everyone say heaven. "Where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also." And it's funny how Matt mentioned that tonight. And he talked about where our focus needs to be. And to store our treasures in heaven, like really, really simply, I'm not going to talk about this for long, it's basically to treasure Jesus. It's to treasure the things of God. It's to treasure the priorities of God and the things that Jesus is and stands for and preached about when he was on earth. And frontline, we need to be ready to receive, but we also need to be ready to store up some treasure, to have our arms outstretched and our heart open towards heaven to receive all that God is going to throw and give to you and impart to you and that you are going to be immersed in over the next 3 days. You know, the catchers were excited. And they were serious. And they were not afraid to act serious. And they were like that about chocolate. And so how much more do we need to be that way when it comes to the things of heaven? Because that's what we've been praying for, you know that? That's what we have all been praying as we've been preparing and in the lead up for camp. And the food is great and the games are awesome, but the point and the goal of camp is not games. The goal of this camp is not just to have fun, although it's great to have fun. The goal is that you would grow to become more in love with Jesus and encounter the real and living God. And I need you to know that God who is in heaven, Jesus who is sitting next to God at his right hand, they have so much treasure that they want to give to you. They have so much wisdom and truth that they want to impart to you. There is so much that God wants to strengthen people in and reveal to people and to show people and to remind people and maybe to even prune in people. There's so much that God wants to impart and give to you. And so we've got to hold on to it. We've got to grab it and we've got to store it. We've got to store it up. They were storing it up in their buckets, right? The chocolate. Well, we've got to store it up in our heart. And we've got to store it up so that when we get back from camp and we get to school, we've got some treasure. We need to store it up for the middle of the year. We need to store it up for when we get into a situation and we're faced with something that we don't know what to do. We need to store it up when we have a friendship crisis. We need to store it up when temptation comes knocking on our door. We need to store that stuff up when anxiety comes and fear comes. We need to store up the treasure on heaven so that we are equipped to deal with life when we go back to reality, frontline. So we need to store up the treasure. Can I have my other two leader, who is it, Matt and Nico? All right, we're going to do part two of this game. And this time, I need, Matt, you need to hold those balls. And there's some chocolates there, yep. And this time, Matt, you're holding those balls. And so it's a bit more tricky, all right? Little footies, little stress balls, whatever. And you're going to catch some chocolate, so go for it, Nico. Just let him have it. Just catch it. Come on. I mean, you don't have to hold the balls. You can, he's losing. What team are you on, Matt? Oh, okay. Thank goodness, because you are not getting any. Like, you better do something differently, because you need to get some treasure. He's throwing you the treasure. What are you going to do, Matt? What are you going to do? Are you going to hold on to those balls, or are you going to, like, Are you going to catch some? Come on. Come on. What do you think Matt needs to do, everyone? Come on, Matt. Like, listen to Frontline. Drop the balls. Oh, okay. Let's see. Can you catch? Oh, he's catching. Oh, look at that. Oh, well, that was bad, but yes, yes. Okay. Give him a clap. Give him a clap. And you can help yourselves to the floor, to what's on the floor, but, you know, there's not enough for everyone, so maybe just go easy on that. Okay. Let's focus. Let's focus. What did Matt have to do to get the treasure? Drop it. He had to drop the balls. Because here's the thing, Frontline. You guys packed your bags and you got ready for camp. But if we're going to be posturing ourselves to catch and store up, then we've got to let some stuff go. Because when we come to camp, we come with baggage. And I'm not talking about our suitcases full of clothes and toiletries and stuff. When we come to camp, we come with baggage that looks like doubt. We come with baggage that looks like fear or distraction. We come with baggage that looks like an attitude. We come holding onto things like idols and earthly things absorbed in the world. And, you know, maybe it looks like you're in a text conversation with someone who's not at camp and they're being really negative about it. You need to let that go. Maybe someone said something to you before you came and it hurt you and offended you, and you've been sitting there and you've been thinking about it and mulling it over and over again, and you're not even focusing on worship. You just need to let that go. Maybe you've come to camp and you're like, what's the point? God's not going to speak to me. I never hear him anyway. You need to let that go. We can come along to camp and to things like this holding so much stuff, but if we're not ready to let some of the stuff that is going to be a distraction, that's going to be a barrier, that's going to get in the way of whatever God wants to do in our life, then just like Matt could not grab that those lollies, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. And so let me ask, what is it that you need to let go of? What is it that you've been holding on to that you need to surrender? Because it's going to be really hard to catch treasure from heaven if our arms are already full. If we're setting our sights on the realities of heaven, we've got to leave the earthly things behind. So here's the thing, and we're going to wrap up. Your walk with God, your faith journey, your resurrection life, it's your responsibility. It's not mine. It's not Matt's. It's not your leaders. It's not your parents. It's your responsibility. We are here because we love you, and we want to help you, and we want to champion you, and encourage you and cheer you on. And we will do that all the way. But when you walk into Monday morning and in the middle of the school week and we're not there, you need to be able to walk out your faith on your own. And, you know, I'm not here to make anyone feel good. I don't want to just make people happy. I want the whole point of camp is our desire is to see you grab seeds from heaven, grab seeds from God, and let them take root in your heart and grow down deep so that you become men and women of God. So that in 10 and 20 and 30 and 50 years, you are still following God. Because let me tell you, that is now rare. We are losing people that live the long run of faith. We want to see people that are in this for life. We want to see people living for Jesus, not just on camp when it's fun and all your friends are there. We want to see people living for Jesus when they're the only ones in their friendship circles, when they're the only ones in their families. And so our desire is for you to catch the stuff that God wants to give to you and store it up in your heart so that you become lifelong followers of Jesus with strength and courage and living lives of obedience. Let's read the last passage from the message one more time. Paul says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, then act like it. Act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. But look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Seek things above where Jesus is. And tonight, right now, Frontline, I encourage you to make a decision. Make a choice for yourself, not because your friend is, not because you think it's the right thing to do, but make it for yourself that this camp, these next few days, you're going to be serious when it comes to God. You're going to be serious about your resurrection life, that you're going to posture yourself. You're going to be ready to store up treasures in heaven. You're going to let go of the baggage. You're going to let go of the stuff that you've brought along that's going to get in the way. And you're going to be alert to the things of God. And that starts right now. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit's already speaking to people. And so we're going to have a time of worship in a minute. But before we do, I've got a question that I've got on the screens that I want to ask you. And this is for you to journal in. And so the question is this. What does a posture that's ready for heaven look like for you? And I actually want you to just take a moment, like right now. We're going to take a moment. And you're going to write down and consider what a posture is going to look like in your own life. Let me give you some ideas. Is it putting your device away? Or maybe like just, you know, letting the battery go dead? Is it getting up early and spending time one-on-one with God in the morning before breakfast, before everyone else is up? Maybe it's hanging back in the meeting room and spending time doing the creative stuff, writing out prayers, drawing down visions that God has given you, listening to what God might be saying. Is it getting accountable with someone? Is it going to be sitting next to someone that's not being distracting to you? Maybe it's being someone that's not being a distraction. Is it spending some of the free time that you're going to have? There's so much free time at camp. Maybe it's like spending some time journaling, actually reflecting on some scriptures that you've read. Maybe it's being humble and just humbling yourself. Maybe you've come with pride. Maybe you've come with walls up. And maybe posturing yourself is literally just humbling yourself before God and saying, you know what, God, I'm yours. I'm ready. Is it letting go of the weight that you've been carrying? And perhaps worship team, if you can come up now, that'd be great. I want to pray for a couple of people. But before I do, what I wanted to do at the end of every message is give everyone a prayer that they can pray. And this is totally like up to you. But I don't know about you. Sometimes you find it hard to know what to pray. I sometimes find it hard to know what to pray. And for me in my life, what has helped me in my relationship with God is when I'm having really hard moments and I don't know what to pray, is actually praying prayers that have already been written. And so I've actually, every message, at the end of every message, I've actually written out a prayer that you can take a photo of or you can write down and you can pray it later on. And you don't have to. It's not like we're going to be checking, and it's not like, you know, it's totally up to you. And so if we can have that prayer up on that screen, and I'm sorry, I thought the screens would be bigger, and so it's really tiny. But let me read it out for you, and if you don't, and we'll leave it up there, and you can copy it later. But this is the prayer. It says, God, thank you for all the treasure that you have in store for me at camp. Help me to get serious and to posture myself to be ready and alert to take hold and store up all that you want to give me. May I have the ears to hear and a humble heart to receive your truth. Lord, please show me the things I need to surrender, all the earthly stuff that I'm holding on to that's distracting me. Jesus, I declare that I'm ready for heaven and for you to move in my life. Amen. Why don't we close our eyes and just get into an attitude of prayer with God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you're here. God, I thank you that you are just so ready to speak to people. I thank you that you've already been speaking to people. And Father, I just pray that as we move into a time of response right now, that we would be ready to be not just listening to you, but God, we would do what Colossians talked about and we would act out that obedience. And Father, if there's a response that we need to make tonight, Father, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to make that response. And so there are a few groups of people that I want to pray for tonight. And the first lot is people that want to get serious. And maybe you haven't been serious, or maybe you've been serious and you just want to get even more serious. But if that's you, just pop your hand up so I know, so I can pray. Real high. Let's not be afraid. Let's be real. It's awesome. That's so good. You want to get serious with God. That's awesome. I'm just going to wait a few moments. Father, I just thank you so much for the people that have their hands up right now that want to be serious. And I just thank you, Lord, for their obedience and for their step of faith. And Father, I pray that as they open up themselves to you, Father God, that you would just invade their lives. Lord, that this simple act of saying, yeah, God, I want to get serious, Lord, I just pray that that would just open up and just release so much into their lives. Father, even now, let them be hearing your voice. Let them be hearing your Holy Spirit, I pray. The second group of people I want to pray for is those that have never accepted Jesus into their life as their Lord and Savior. And you know, at the start I talked about, you know, if you're someone that loves Jesus, if you've accepted him and you are listening to all of that and you're like, well, that's not me. I don't have a new life. I've not been raised with Jesus. Well, you know what? Tonight you have an opportunity to respond to Jesus because God loves you so much. He loves you even though you haven't loved him, and he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that you might be forgiven and set free and be given a new life and have eternity with God in heaven. And if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and said, yes, come and live in my life, I want a new life, then you can do that right now. And so if that's you,